First Corinthians chapter number 6, and I'll do my best to preach quickly. First Corinthians chapter number 6, this chapter, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the book of First Corinthians. Paul's dealing with a lot of things and a lot of issues in the church. This was a very wicked place, and so there were some people that got saved. Praise God for it, but they had a hard time getting over the old life. And there were things that were in the church that he had to deal with. There was a lot of sexual perversion, and that's because the area that they were in was full of sexual perversion. And I tell you, we're living in a day today that there's sexual perversion everywhere. That's a part of the end days that that God talks about in His Word. There's a lot of that going on, and we see that everywhere. But there's a lot of that going on here, and so Paul's trying to straighten some things out in this church that have some doctrinal issues inside of it. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but the very first part of the chapter, Paul tells them that a brother should not take a brother to court, should not sue him. And you know, you say, do you believe that? I do believe that. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a brother should not go to the law before the unjust. A saved person should not take a saved person to court in front of a lost judge. And I know that we believe that this Bible should be Americanized, and that's just not what Americans do, but we're Christians. And that's what the Bible says. I've known of several cases over the last several years where preachers or brothers would take another brother to court. I know of one situation where a pastor took a man in his church to court over something, and then he complained and said, he's like, man, that judge hates God, and there's not a spiritual bone in her body. I was like, yeah, you went to the judicial system in Jefferson County, Alabama, to work out something with another brother. What did you think was going to happen? The Bible says, and in that particular case, I was actually asked, like, hey, what do you think we ought to do? And I said, don't do that. And the Bible explains what to do. You find some spiritual men in the church, you find some spiritual people, and sit down and let them judge between the matter and work the things out, and do not take that out in front of the world. You know one thing I hate about Facebook is people that get on there and they're judging one another and they're blasting one another and they both have opinions about it and they're doing it in front of the lost world. That's no different than taking them to court in front of a lost judge. And that's what's going on. I don't mind taking a stand for truth and taking a stand for what you believe in. I do have a problem when people start doing it against each other, Christians, on social media and things like that. That bothers me. But that's what Paul's dealing with here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And then he goes on to explain why we shouldn't do that. These people are lost. They don't know any better. Here in Corinth, it was a wicked place. There was a lot of sexual perversion going on. And he says there in verse 8, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. You're defrauding one another. You're doing it in front of the world. And then he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he lists this list of these individuals and who they are. They're fornicators. They're idolaters. They're adulterers. They're effeminate. They're abusers of themselves with mankind. They're thieves, they're covetous, they're drunkards, they're revilers, they're extortioners. And he said, why are you going before these people to judge something that ought to be handled in the church? That ought to be handled between brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what he says in this passage? There's not time to go over it. He said, you need to be willing to be done wrong before you go out there and shame the name of Christ. And he lists all these people and these individuals and what they were. But he says in verse number 11, he's talking to this church in Corinth. He said, but that's not you. He said, and such were some of you. You used to be these drunkards. You used to be these people that were idolaters and fornicators and adulterers and effeminate. But you're no longer those things because you've been saved. You've been washed in the blood. You're no longer those things. And then he goes on to say, so stop acting like them. But before he says that, in verse number 12, he said, all things are lawful unto me. We're living under grace. Aren't you thankful for that? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And he begins to talk about meat for the belly and belly for meat. And he talks about fornication. And here's what I want to get to, and you all know this passage, verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the member of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth with is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul says something here that I can picture him saying, because I've said it, and some of you have said it, and some parents, you've said it to your children, where you say, what? I mean, he says that there a few different times. What? With a question mark. Like, I can't believe you don't understand this. But he's preaching to and trying to teach a church that have been saved. They've been washed in the blood. They no longer are those things. They're no longer fornicators and effeminate and idolaters. They may commit those things, but that's not who they are anymore, because they're a new creature in Christ. But that's not what they are anymore. But he's kind of baffled that they don't understand that their body belongs to God. And they've been bought with a price. And you're no longer those things because you've been saved. But why in the world are you still using your body to do some of these same things? That's what Paul's dealing with here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, as I go through this message just briefly, I'm going to mention this. When I talk about the church, when I talk about that, I'm not referring to this building. This building is the place that God gave us. He gave us this building almost 10 years ago, gave us this building. When God gave us this place, this is the place where the church meets. But if you're saved in here this morning, you make up the church. There are lost people that are local, that are members of a local church, a local building, a local assembly, but they're lost. But there's nobody lost in the body of Christ, in that church. This building's not the church. It's the place where we gather, the place where we meet. The church is the universal body made up of every person who's trusted in Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to lay a little groundwork and then get into this message this morning. Paul was dealing with a group of individuals that were saved. They'd been washed in the blood, but they had not been sanctified yet. They've not been set apart. They were still using their body to commit fornication, to commit other things that were not right, that were a bad testimony. And he was trying to encourage them to say, don't you know that your body belongs to God now? You don't have the freedom and the privilege to do whatever you want to do. My body, my choice. Not if you're saved. Not if you're saved. But there's people that absolutely have that mentality. I heard a message not long ago. I heard it after I was studying for this message, so I'm not preaching this because of it, but it turned out to be a perfect illustration. An independent Baptist preacher, King James only, got up and he preached an entire message on God does not care what you do with your body. Because you're saved and Christ's righteousness lives in you. And because of that, God doesn't care. He doesn't care if men get earrings. He doesn't care if you get tattoos all over your body. He doesn't care how you dress. God does not care about anything you do in your flesh. And that man has not read his Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. What's sad is he has read his Bible. And I know the man and I know how he's preached and taught in the past. But there's something going on in his life because he's all of a sudden changed what he believes about it. Probably trying to justify something that's going on in his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is what? Christ." We all make up the body of Christ. We all make that up. Look at verse number 20. It says, "But now are they many members, but yet what? one body. We're all individual members in the body of Christ. This is the church. Look at verse number 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. If you're saved, you're a part of the body of Christ. Many members, but one body. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Turn quickly. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. Romans 12, 5. When you find your place, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we being many are what? One body in Christ, and every one members one of another. The church is made up of individuals that are in Christ, many members making up one body. And many of you know this. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. What we're sitting in today is the place that God allows us to meet, but we are the church. What are you getting at? What I'm getting at is when you leave out of this building and it's empty, it's just an empty building. And you, the church, go out there. And so when people see you, they see the church. That's why I say sometimes if you're going to go out and act a fool and dress bad, do not wear our church shirt. Don't wear a gospel shirt. Wear the First Baptist Down the Road shirt or something. Don't wear... Why? Because you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ and you're representing our local assembly. The word temple, back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, let's go back there. The word temple there refers not to the whole temple itself, but specifically in this text, it's talking about where God dwells. It's representing the Holy of Holies. That is where God dwelt with men in the tabernacle, and the temple was in the Holy of Holies. And when you got saved, the preacher preached it this morning, that seed, the Holy Spirit of God, lives inside of you. And now your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He's living in you. We're in Him, and He is in us. And now your old stinking fleshly body that walks around and does things is probably thinking about where you're going to eat for lunch today. That's where God lives inside of every person that's saved. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Turn back a couple chapters. Hold your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is not the first time that Paul has introduced this thought to the church at Corinth. In speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, I like how Paul, when he first starts out writing to the church at Corinth, he lets them know that there's a judgment coming. The judgment seat of Christ, where every man is going to give an account of everything that he's done in his body. And look what it says here in verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. This passage, he's dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. And so he's telling them there that God lives inside of you. He dwells, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ, and you were put into Him, and He was put into you. That new man, the spiritual circumcision, I taught on all these things, sealed. The Holy Spirit sealed you under the day of redemption. But now the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of you. Paul is trying to let this church know that God Himself is living in you. And there are those like this man I mentioned just a moment ago that have the opinion that whatever you do in your body does not matter. But I'm telling you, the Bible says something way different than that. If you're saved, God lives in you. Everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you look at, everything you touch, everything you consume, everything you think, He's right there. I've said this before in preaching to somebody that has a hard time quitting smoking or dipping or drinking. All those things are things that are not good for your body, but they're also not a good testimony for a child of God. They're not a good testimony for a Christian. There's some Christians that believe that they can do all these things. And listen, that's between you and God. Say, can you be saved and do those things and be a witness? Absolutely. But if you were to ask the drunk on the street down in Birmingham, he'll tell you what I'm doing is not right. It's just not a good testimony. And so they would tell you those things. God living inside of you. And I've often tell them, hey, if you have a hard time with drinking or you have a hard time with smoking or any of those things, why don't you, every time you go to do it, open your Bible and do it over top of your Bible and let the ashes fall on the pages and let the liquor fall on the pages. You say, what are you trying to get at? I'm saying you probably wouldn't do that. But this is something physical that we can hold. And I love my Bible. You should not mistreat your Bible. You should not mistreat. It shouldn't be laying in the floorboard of your car all week. Or back there baking in the sun all week. I love my Bible. But you know I have someone so precious living inside of me. And you said I would never smoke over top of my Bible. I would never dip or chew or spit or drink. And I'm just mentioning these things that are popular things that people do sometimes. I would never watch pornography. I would never do those things with an open Bible sitting there. But yet people do it every day with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. And they don't think twice about it. Now Paul, you know the good news is? We're not the only ones that deal with this. Paul's writing to a church in Corinth that he loved. And these people loved God. You know how I know they love God? That they were in all kind of wicked sin and all kind of just filth going on in that church. And they were confused about the Lord's Supper. And there was incest in the church. And there was other perversions. But Paul preached the word to them. He gave them the truth of God's word. And they got right with God. We read 2 Corinthians. Where they got right with God. So when you hear a message like this or you hear preaching like this, don't automatically think, well, I'm just worthless and nothing. I'm telling you, God loves you enough to send you something to get right with Him so you can go on to live for Him. If you're saved, God lives in you. Everywhere you go, He goes. Everything you touch, everything you do. Now listen, God's perfect. And this is where spiritual circumcision comes in. We are sealed into the day of redemption. The day you got saved, He separated your soul from your flesh. Now if you lie, you just told a lie. You're not a liar. That's not who you are. There's a new creature in there. And so God separated those things. But it will not affect your salvation. Say amen to that. You ride on I-65 and you could lose your salvation. You would lose it somewhere between Birmingham and Coleman. You're going to lose your salvation if you could lose it. But you can't. Thank God for it. But I tell you what you can mess up, and that's your daily walk with God. Your relationship with God. Hindered prayers. Hindered blessings. I don't believe that God sits up there and trying to throw a lightning bolt on top of Brother Nick's head every time he doesn't do something he's supposed to. But I tell you what He will do. He'll just take His hand of blessing off and just back off and let Him have His way. And that's way worse. Growing up, if I had to get disciplined, I wanted to get it over with. And the times that it just didn't happen, but I knew my parents were upset, man, those were miserable days sometimes, knowing that you're in trouble. And I'm telling you, God takes His hand off of your life, the blessings. You can't lose your salvation. I'm thankful for it. It absolutely matters what you do in your body with your relationship with God, regardless of what social media tells you. He gets us. Yeah, He gets you. Paul's telling this church in Corinth, they are God's temple. And based off of what he's telling them and describing about what these lost people are doing, that their body's a temple, we can see a picture here that Paul believed that some of these Corinthians were using their bodies for immoral purposes. They were defiling their temple. The temple that God lives in. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, Corinth was a wicked place. They had a temple there, the temple of Diana. She was the goddess of sex and love. In her temple, there were over 1,000 priestesses. And if you were going to come worship, you had to have relationships with those priestesses. And there was just many, many wicked things going on. And there were people that got saved out of that in this church. But man, they were saved. They were born again. But their soul was saved, but their body still had some problems. That's why Paul's dealing with this subject. And you know, today we have people that we see get saved and thank God for it, or they get in church. But man, there's just some things they never quite get victory over in their body. When God gave the plans for His tabernacle, when He gave the plans for the temple in the Old Testament, He had a way that He wanted it done. And I want to make comparison just for a moment. I'm just going to give you these points. I don't have time to preach all this. But God would never fill the temple of the Old Testament if everything wasn't right. Now listen, I know we're a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. And we make mistakes and we can go to God and ask for forgiveness. But I'm talking about this morning those that know they're not doing right with their body, but they're doing it anyway. And then they expect God to bless them. They know they're not dressing right. They know they're not listening to the right kind of music. They just know they're not doing right. Not doing right with one another. And then they're just expecting God to show up and bless them. That is what the social media gospel that's being preached has done for most people. I can live how I want, do what I want, and God's still going to bless me. Jesus loves me. And He absolutely does. Don't get me wrong, church. But I'm saying God wants a clean people. God wants a clean people. Just for a moment, a couple things about that temple that we can relate to our temple. Do we all agree this morning that God's living inside of us? I mean, Paul said it. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and which we have of God. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, God knows my heart. But He's also watching your body. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that's what you're giving account for. Well, if I would have known that, I never would have got saved. Hopefully nobody would ever say that. Hopefully nobody would ever say that. First of all, the temple of the Old Testament, and I believe we can draw comparison to us today, was a place of dedication. That place was dedicated to God and His glory. You know, God saved me. I was 9 years old the day I got saved. I was 9 years old. And if the Lord wants me to give my life to serve Him, that is not unreasonable. My life ought to reflect His glory. It ought to reflect who He is. Our body ought to be a place of dedication unto the Lord. A place that He can be pleased with to dwell in. Nothing that defiled was allowed on the grounds of the temple. If anything was not quite right, the Lord was displeased with it. There's people that died over it. When Nadab and Abihu came in there, the sons of Eleazar, they offered up strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord sent down fire and consumed them. Elijah must have knew that story. Because when he was up there on Mount Carmel, he said, Lord, you remember these two fellows? When you consume them, can you do it to these prophets of Baal? I'm sure that's what he was praying in that prayer. Ask God to send down fire from heaven again. I'm telling you this morning, God wants to have a place of dedication. He wants a place where His glory can show forth. And it appears these men, if you go back and read it, we're not going to, but these men were doing all kind of wicked things. They were doing wicked things at the door of the temple. They had a drinking problem. We read Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. There was all kind of stuff, and they were offering strange fire before God, like a lot of churches are doing today, and all their music and the way that they're ministering. They're offering strange fire before God. God has a way He wants it done, and your feelings don't matter on how God wants it done. But I tell you, if you do it God's way and you're full of the Holy Spirit, man, I tell you, it'll bless your heart. It'll bless your heart. And so we find that God wants to dwell in a place of dedication. The temple was set apart for God and His glory. Our bodies, that's what we're talking about this morning. It ought to be a place that's set apart for the glory of God. Instead, we have temples, speaking of our bodies, that we're going to do what we want to do with it. We'll do it in the name of, I'm more comfortable this way. You cannot tell me that a pair of pants that you have to lay in a bed to put on that cut off circulation is more comfortable than dressing modestly. What are you doing with your temple? That's where God lives. It ought to be a place of dedication. No one in this room that's born again has the right to use your body for anything other than what glorifies God. You say, you can't tell me what to do with my body. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It needs to glorify God. Jesus went to Calvary. He paid the ultimate price for our sins. Went to the cross of Calvary for you and I to save us from hell. And you want a little bit of temporary pleasure down here to be popular or to get likes or to be accepted by the world or to be fashionable? You're going to trade eternity in with Christ. This life is but a little vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. But man, we got people that are so full of themselves, they do not care about giving God any glory with their life. They just don't care. You say, how can you say that I care? I love the Lord. Show it with your body. I'm not taking this out of context. Whenever we got saved, we came to the Lord with all of our sin. Said, Father, would you forgive me? I know I'm a sinner. Would you save me? And many of us there, we got up from that time and said, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. I will live for you. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, we took it back and said, well, I enjoy doing this. And the Lord understands. And you know, there's some people that feel that way. And you were doing so good with everything before you got saved. Why not take it back? I mean, everything was just going so good before you got saved, right? Regardless of what we do, we ought to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. There, say amen. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? The glory of God. I'm not making this stuff up. God wants a holy people. He wants a separated people. You say, you're being a legalist. Well, I wouldn't want to be illegal. But I also want to be a Bible believer that loves God. And I do. And you say, are you perfect at this? Absolutely not. But man, we ought to strive to want to please God. I might mess up every day and I need to go before God. But you know what? God sees your heart. And He knows if you truly have a desire to want to please Him. There are things that God convicts us about and bothers us about. And we put our foot down and say, no, I'm going to do it anyway. Even though this will not glorify God. There's an illustration that I read about years ago. Jack Hiles, when he was in college, was asked to go to a dance. His reply was, I'd love to go to the dance with you. A young lady was asking him about it. He said, but I can't. And the lady asked, why can you not go to the dance? He said, I don't have any feet. And the lady looked at him, and obviously he had feet, and said, what are you talking about? I see your feet. He's like, no, when I got saved, God got my feet. And now I can't go dancing. When I got saved, God got my ears. And now all of a sudden, I can't listen to that music. Why? My body belongs to God. And I'm telling you, there's things that people don't like about Him, but He went on and did great things for God. We all have things that we wish we wouldn't have done and things said and things like that. We're all imperfect. But I'm telling you, God used that man. It's a place of dedication. Not only that, but that temple was a place of devotion. It was a place where people showed up to worship God. And our temple ought to be a place where people gather, where people can come and worship with us. But when it's just us, it ought to be a place where we can worship God. It ought to be a place where we can magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That temple was a place where songs were sung, prayers were prayed, hands were raised, praise was rendered unto God. The Lord was magnified. It was a place of worship. We're talking about this temple that God lives in. You say, how can I worship God with my body? The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that you could present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You wake up every single day and say, Lord, here I am. I am giving you myself today. I'm a living sacrifice. I want to be acceptable in your sight today. And you can praise and you can worship God. You can be the nut that's going down the road and you're singing and crying because you're thinking about how good God's been to you and nobody else is around. You can be the one that you go out in public and whenever somebody asks you how you're doing, regardless of how your day's doing, you say, the Lord be magnified. And you use your body to worship God and give God the glory. What are we using our body for? It can be used as a living sacrifice. It can be used as a temple of prayer. We ought to use our bodies as a temple of prayer. It ought to be used as something that reflects the presence of God. It ought to be something that praises Him continually. Can we say this morning that we are using our body, not just Sunday morning, but that we're using our body as a house of worship before God? This thing's almost over. The Lord's coming back. Do you see what's happening to Israel right now? The Iron Dome can't even keep up with all the missiles that are being shot at it. Right this minute, the Lord's getting ready to come back. And you know what He's going to find? He's going to find a lackadaisical church. He's going to find nominal Christians. He's going to find Christians that are Christians on Sunday morning, and that's it. They come and worship on Sunday. They dress modestly on Sunday, but every other day of the week they do whatever they want. That's what He's coming back to. Man, I don't want to be that Christian. I don't want to have to stand before God and give an account for our church and say, Lord, we were Christians on Sundays, but we are mediocre the rest of the week. A place of dedication. It was a place of devotion. It was a place of duty. There were men that carried out duties within that temple. They all had a responsibility. And you know, our body ought to be a place where we carry out the duty of God. We heard this morning about sowing the seed. Every person that's saved in here ought to have their part in sowing the seed. We all have a job to do, but it's hard to do that when you're not dressed right, living right, looking right. It's hard to do that. You can't roll up at a gas station, jam it out to country music or whatever else, and then get out and give a track. You can, but you're going to look like a hypocrite. The lost heathen knows better. They know that's not right. It's all these carnal Christians and all these people that go to these mega churches that think that they love Jesus that can get away with that kind of stuff because He gets us. The temple was a place of sacrifice and tithings and offerings and prayers. We ought to be a servant for Christ. Is our temple a place where the duties of the Lord are carried out? We don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of opportunities here in order to do ministry outside. I mean, we've tried over the years. We've tried bus route. We tried visitation. We tried those things, and people don't come. But we're still trying. We still go out on Tuesday nights to visitate. But there's opportunities to do something for God. But you know what it calls? Crucifying your flesh. Crucifying your flesh, saying, you know what? I don't want to be out here. I don't like doing it. Going up and knocking on a stranger's door. But you know what? God told us to go out. Go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Go out and knock on the doors. There's things we ought to be doing. You ought to be giving out tracts. Tell them, is your temple a place where the duties of the Lord are carried out? The place of dedication, a place of devotion, a place of duty. You know what else it was? That old temple in Jerusalem was a scene of many deaths. It was a place of death. Millions of animals down through the years in the tabernacle and the temple and those places were slain on the altars in obedience to God and for sin and for things like that. While there was praising and singing and worshiping going on in this great place, There was meeting with God. There was also the stench of death. And you know what? Our body should have the stench of a crucified flesh every day. Paul said, I get up every day. He said, I die what? Daily. He didn't just die on Sundays. He said, I die. He got up and said, you know what? My flesh wants to do this. Look, I'm trying to help our church. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, real soon. And we need to be prepared. Paul did not just get up on Sunday. He got up every day and said, Lord, today I'm crucifying my flesh. I'm dying to myself today. That thing that I enjoy doing that I know doesn't please you, please give me the strength today not to do it. And I could go on and on with illustrations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old things need to pass away. I've heard preachers say before, I wouldn't give you a nickel for their salvation. Nothing changed. And that's between them and God. If somebody did what the Bible says to be saved, they're saved. Whether they change anything else in their life. Now, I, as a pastor and as a fellow Christian, could say, I don't think they're saved. But that's between them and God. There's no fruit of their salvation. But you know what a sign of a changed life is? A sign of salvation? The old things pass away. Death, a place of death. The place of dedication, a place of devotion, of duty, of death. And last of all, it was a place of display. And listen, this place of display was not to display you and how great you are. How smart you are, how you look. It was a place to display the glory of God. When God sees me, He sees the blood. And you know what? When this world sees me, they ought to see Christ. We ought to reflect His glory. When men saw the temple standing there in Jerusalem, you know who they were reminded of? They were reminded of God when they looked at that temple. And our bodies as the temple of God, we're supposed to be a witness to this world that we've been redeemed, that we've been saved. They ought to see us and be around us and say, there's something different about you. Right. Not that we blend in with everything else going on in this world right now. And I understand it's confusing at times because of the rise of the mega churches and the false gospel that's out there and the false Jesus and the Antichrist and the new music that worships the new Antichrist. All of it, it gets real confusing. But I tell you what, my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that we are the sons of God. And there's going to be people, they'll see that. We've already had some. Me and Brother Carl have had this conversation where they'll go to one of these churches. They'll go to Church of the Highlands or they'll go to Desperation Church. These are two of the largest growing churches in the country right now, here in Alabama. They'll go to these places, but then they'll meet somebody that's a real genuine Christian. They'll say, there's something different about you. I mean, I've been going to this, you know, Desperation Church. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Church, we're running out of time to be beating around the bush. The Lord's coming back real soon. I believe it. And what if it's 20 years from now? Well, if the Lord allows me to live that long, may the next 20 years bring Him glory, praise, and honor. And Father, forgive me for whenever I don't. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. If you're there, say amen. That's the last verse. Only let your conversation, that's your life, that is the life that you live. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. Is your temple a place of that displays the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy? You know what I appreciate about some people when I meet them? And I'll say the Rileys are this way when I met them. I believe they were a picture of God's grace. His dear wife was going through that time of cancer, got up there singing, still playing the trumpet, just saying, hey, can I glorify God? Going through awful times, man. Every time around, they got a good spirit. I'm not trying to lift them up. If he gets a big head, the Lord will put him back down pretty quick. But I'm just telling you, get around some people. We got some people in our church that way. I just enjoy being around them. They're a display of God. When you see them, you see God's grace. You see God's long-suffering, God's mercy. See, are they perfect? No, they've messed up big time. We all have. Say, preacher, it sounds like you got to be this perfect person to be this temple. No. Nope. Well, we all have a lot of issues. Every one of us do. Paul said, hey, your body, the day you got saved, you became a temple of the Holy Ghost. He's living inside of you. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. That's what he's telling this church. And you know what? By him telling the church and God put it in this perfect book, he's telling us that this is what he wants. And I have many more verses I could go over on this, but I'm not going to. Let's all stand. Ella, you come play something on the piano. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this is a hard message to move on. If God spoke to your heart, would you come talk to him this morning? Look, no beating around the bush. If there's things that are not right with God in our life, and we know it, why don't this morning you just come get clean with God? He already knows it. They used to have old-fashioned barrel burnings. And people would bring music, and they would bring clothing, and they would bring things that didn't honor God, and they would burn it in a barrel as an open sacrifice, saying, Lord, I want to live clean. I want to give my life for you. At my job, I'm going to glorify you. In my family, I'm going to glorify you. In my marriage, I'm going to glorify you. In my vehicle, whatever I do in my body, I want to glorify you. And if there's something standing in the way, would you, spiritually speaking, this morning come and give it to God? Did he speak to you about anything this morning? Would you be willing to lay it on the altar as a sacrifice and say, God, I like this. I enjoy it. It brings me pleasure. But I know it doesn't bring you glory. And I know you're not pleased with it. I'm telling you, if you would do this, you do not even understand how much your life will change. It changed at salvation. We're talking about something else here. We're talking about a life of service to God, a life of dedication, a life of submission, a life of consecration to say, God, I'm going to take my body and my life and I'm going to please you. In order to do that, there are some things we know does not please God that we're going to have to say, God, you can have it. And you know what? The things that are standing in the way of you serving God that are not sinful, but you won't give it up to please God, I'm telling you, if you'll give it to Him, if it's not sinful, God will give it back to you. There's some things He'll allow you to enjoy. Don't think for 1 minute that a life submitted to Christ, a life that'll glorify God, is a boring life. It's not. How are we possessing our temple? Message is not meant to be a discouragement. Paul had to deal with it in a couple different passages that he wrote to churches just to remind them of what their body was supposed to be used for. I tell you, church, we want a clean place of worship, don't we? What we do, that starts within ourselves. If the church house, the local church, is dirty, spiritually speaking, it's because there's individual members that made it dirty. God wants a clean place, a clean people. I'm not perfect. That's why every day we get up and crucify the flesh. Before you go to bed tonight, Lord, is there anything I did today that didn't please you? And get it right with Him. Keep a short account with God. What a wonderful privilege we have to keep a short account with God. Amen. Brother Carl, would you close us in prayer this morning? If you can go to the nursing home, please come. We'll have the service at 2:30 today. Be praying for it if you can't.